Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your presence, for being here, O God, and getting us ready to leave this test house. Father, we come, Lord, wanting to know what this message is all about, wanting to know what you said in the shout, so that it'll get us ready for the voice of the resurrection. Help us, Father, to understand all the aspects of faith, especially the faith of the Son of God, that we might be transformed by the renewing of our mind from image to image and from glory to glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I would like to address a subject I've entitled Hybrid Faith. And I want to show you that hybrid faith can produce only one thing, and that is death. From Brother Branham's sermon, Condemnation by Representation, Brother Branham said, "I've often said if eating apples caused women to realize that they're naked, they had better pass the apples again because it's time. I don't say that to be rude. I'm saying that to just make a point that it's the truth. It wasn't apples. Now, let's not get that ridiculous about it. It wasn't no apple tree. But let's take it on another tree so that we can bring it out and fulfill our text. Let's take it to a tree of faith, that Eve taken of this forbidden tree of unbelief. Then we can make the text come out. It was faith. She disbelieved God's word. God said a certain thing will happen. She ought to have let it alone. She ought to have believed it the way that God said it. But no, Satan come along with his theology, and she mixed it and gave it to Adam and caused a hybrid faith. That's what the church has got today. So-called church, a hybrid faith. It's mixed with fears and doubts and frustrations, and if it was a genuine faith, it wouldn't move. When God said anything, it would be that way. But, see, she mixed it. Took what God said and what Satan said and churned it together and said, here it is. That's the way many people do today. See, they take what the Bible says and what man says, and that makes a hybrid faith. That's why Brother Branham warned us that say what's on the tape, say only what's on the tape. And when they do, they bring it back. Oh, it makes a beautiful church, sure. But there's no life in it. It's dead, a hybrid faith. Oh, I do believe that God was yes, but now, well, he's not here today. That's hybrid faith. I believe that he gave the Holy Ghost to the Pentecostals back there on the day of Pentecost, but that's not for us today. A hybrid faith. Condemned by God, hybrid and no good. Stay away from it. It's evil. It brings in doubts. And maybe, well, I'll go up and get healed. Maybe I'll go up and get healed. Maybe the Lord will hear me. That's hybrid faith. It's no good. How many of you ever said that? I'm not going to ask for hands. But how many of you ever said to yourself, well, maybe I'll get healed? That's hybrid faith. All right? It's no good. That's church faith. We want God's faith. God said something, and that's the truth. Stay with it. Amen. Oh, I wish my words was wrote with an iron pen. Stay with what God said. It's the truth. Paragraph 43. Hybrid faith. It'll read Hebrews 1 and 3. It'll read Hebrews 13, and it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. And Hebrews, and then the hybrid faith comes in and says, well, in a certain way. In a certain way, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but he's not. He can't heal today because that's out of the program. But genuine faith will say he is the same. It's not hybrid. It's not all churched up with theology of man, not mule religion, man's word, and God's word mixed together. So notice Brother Branham in this sermon is showing us two very important things here. Number one, when you mix God's word with man's word, you hybridize your faith right there. It'll cause you to stop. It'll cause all kinds of things that happen. Number two, the moment your faith becomes hybrid, it dies. And so we see the church, by organizing on man's ideas about God's word, instead of taking God's word for what he said, they died and could not reproduce the life back into the church again. Again, from a sermon, Condemnation by Representation, paragraph 69, Brother Brown said, so when they see the inspirator, now, just a note, the word inspirator that Brother Brown uses here is not in the English dictionary. Now, we could put it in because it's a good word. But what he's using this word for is the source of inspiration. In other words, the inspirator, or the person who inspired Eve. So Brother Brown is speaking of the source of inspiration concerning Eve, which was the devil himself. So when they see the inspirator of his wife, Eve, when he come to meet Jesus, it said, oh yes, it is written that he'll give the angels charge over thee, any time that they dash thy foot against a stone, they'll bear thee up. Yes. And he said, and it's also written. Oh, he couldn't cross him up. He was God made flesh. He was my Savior, my God. He couldn't cross him up. What did he do then? He embraced the cross, and on the cross he died for me and for you and for the world, that he might restore back again to God. What? Sons and daughters of God, like in the Garden of Eden, before they got crossed up in theology. Now, I just highlighted that there because notice it's the theology that crosses people up. Oh God, if people could only see that, if I could only pound that into the people. Jesus died that he might take people away from this hybrid church stuff, that he might bring your minds and faith away from what man has said, back to what God said, not a hybrid faith. Well, maybe the days of miracles is past. Maybe that won't happen. Oh, brother, God said it would happen, and that settles it. That's for always. God said so. Just like John 14:12. God said it. I can show you where he put it in there. You tell me where he took it out. Fivefold ministry, same thing. I can show you where God put it in the church. And I'm quoting Brother Brown. He said, you show me where he took it out. Again, we see that Brother Brown's ministry was to restore the children to the faith of the fathers, as we see in Malachi, the fourth chapter. Malachi 4 and 5 says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart, that's the understanding or the faith of the fathers to the children, and the heart, which every time the word heart is used, it means understanding the scripture or looking at faith, of the children of their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, in his sermon proving his word, Brother Branham reads Malachi 4, and he said, Malachi 4 claims it, behold, I will send you Elijah in the last days, that's right, and he will restore the faith of the children back to the fathers again. See, the faith of the fathers to the children also. See, it's got to be. So we're dealing with a ministry. Excuse me. We're dealing with a ministry that was sent here for one purpose, and that's to restore our faith back to the apostolic faith of the Pentecostal fathers. Now, I'm not talking about 1906 Azusa Pentecost. I'm talking about the Alpha Pentecost on the day of Pentecost. All right. Again, from Supersign, he says, we're promised in the last days, according to Malachi 4, that someone would raise up in the last days that would try to bring back and shake back all the coldness and all the traditions and things and restore the faith of the people back to the apostolic fathers again, to the original word. So we're talking about a restoration of the apostolic faith, which is the faith of the original word of God. And if there is to be a restoration, then there had to be a deviation from the faith of the fathers in order for that original faith in the word of God to be restored again to the children. And along with that restoration of the faith of Christ will come an impartation of life and an infusion of life, a true revival of life back in the church again. Now, in a sermon trying to do God a service, Brother Branham quotes the prophet Joel as telling us that God himself will restore the original faith that had been hybrid down through the ages by organizations of man who influenced the church away from the original faith of the first church. Now, let's look at the vision. He says, let's look at the vision that we have today. Is it building churches? Now, listen. Look at the programs in churchianity today. Brother Brown says, let's look at the people's vision. And that'll tell you if they've got the original faith or if they've got a hybrid faith. Is it building churches? Is it new things? Is it great things that's going to happen, or is it judgment? You know, some churches, all they preach is judgment. Look back and see the promise of today. See what season we're living in. You say, well, bless God, brother, I'm sincere, I joined church, I got my bachelor's of art, I've done this. That's all right, that's fine, nothing against it. So had David. So had the priests of that day. So had the theologians, but it was contrary to the word. God said that he would do it today. How he would restore all things. What he would do again. He promised to restore, that's exactly Joel 2:28, he promised that he would restore. I will restore, saith the Lord, all the years that the cankerworm eat. They got, and that's the same worm, it's a different stage of life. And when Catholicism started eating, then Lutheran, Methodist, and Pentecostals, and all down. He said, I will restore everything back to a church exactly like it was at the first place. Now notice, you had in the very first church age under Paul, you had a church that the people were called Christians because they were so Christ-like. Peter and John were walking down the street, and people knew that these men were so Christ-like, they just got in their shadow when they were healed. That's what he wants to restore. A church that's totally Christ-like. But what happened? Yeah, we know about the Catholic Church and how they brought in their Nicolaitanism, hierarchy, and all this other stuff, and they added all this pomp, all this ceremony, all this glitter, and everything else, and it'll build up millions and millions and billions of people, but not sons and daughters of God. And so they deviated. Well, then Luther come along and said, wait a minute. The Word of God says, "By the just shall live by faith, not by all these, genuflecting and our fathers and all this other stuff." And the people said amen to that. And then what happened? As soon as Luther goes off, they go back to the pomp and glitter. And I remember as a young boy being raised Catholic, and I left the Catholic Church and I went to the Lutheran Church for about two services. And I said, well, wait a minute, they're just as Catholic as the Catholics are. And then I went to, a friend of mine was studying to be a, not Episcopalian, but something, one of those kind of, Eastern United States type, mainstream. And so I went to one of his services. No, this is just the same. I even tried going to Baptist church. No, it was all the same. Then I tried United Pentecostal. Well, it was different, but they were going to have a woman preacher. I said, that's not in the Word. So, and then God brought me to this message. He brought me to this message, and I haven't turned back since. But see, the Catholic Church added man's ideas about the Word, and they deviated. Then Luther's come along, and they add, and they go back to the same old mess, the same worm. It's called a palm worm, cankerworm, and whatever worm, and it's just the same worm eating away at the faith of the people. God sent a prophet in this hour, and God himself came down to restore us back to what Paul had, to that original faith that he could be preaching all night long. People didn't complain. Somebody fell off the rafters and died. He just went over, laid his hands on him, raised him back up. That's the kind of faith that we want. Brother Brown, what we're going to find this morning, he's talking about that hybrid faith is pampered. You got to pamper them. You got to promise them this. You got to be soft to them. You got to entice. You got to do all kinds of things because the people are just. He says they're so, they're just so pampered and so soft and so unlike the original faith. Or those people were rugged. I mean, it was between life and death. When they got together to meet, They had to hide. The government was out to kill them. They get stoned by the church. The church is stoned. The government would crucify them. it wasn't an easy thing. It wasn't this soft Laodicea, fluffy stuff that goes on today. So in a sermon proving his word, Brother Brown quotes scripture. He says, in the last days it should come to pass, before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come, that I will send you, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he will restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. And watch, the faith of the fathers to the children, the Jews, see, their promise of the scripture, the Gentiles, and where they had fell from. Look at that duo just as perfectly exactly, and here we see it, God proving his word. So we see during the seven church ages, the church had fallen from the original faith, and God, faith of God, by mixing the Word of God with the thoughts of men, who formed organized religion, and God said, I will restore that faith at the end time by sending the spirit of Elijah back to the church. In another place, in Condemnation by Representation, paragraph 85, Brother Branham prophetically pointed out what he was seeing in his day in seed form, that which we are dealing with today in the fully manifested form. And notice he tells us the results of what hybrid faith will produce and has produced. He said, hybrid, they don't even know whether they're man or woman. That's right. You can hardly tell what sex they belong to by looking at them and listening to them. That's true, friends. I'm not saying that about you Christian women. My voice is going around to many nations, but it's hybrid. This America has become condemned. And what did she do? According to the vision, she elected the wrong person. I don't know how long it'll take to run it out, but it will someday. Thus saith the Lord, it will. She's on her downward move right now. She'll never come back. She's gone. That's right. She's been gone since 1956 when she condemned and turned away from God the great revival hour. Oh, my. There is no way that they can make America great again. It will never happen. You could put an Abraham Lincoln in every county across America and a Donald Trump to push the agenda, and it will never get done, because just look at the generation of the millennials. They're lost. I'm not talking about that one in a million who have the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the children of the baby boomer generation. If 80% of the baby boomer generation were mentally deficient back then, what about their children? Now listen, I'm a baby boomer generation. And Brother Branham is telling us, and I'm going to show you two studies, he says, where 80% of the generation then, which is the baby boomer generation, were mentally deficient. And then he says, what about their children? They don't even know if they're male or female. If you don't know that you're male or female, then you can't even reproduce. And God help us if they could. Because that would, what would they give birth to? Brother Branham said in his sermon, One in a Million, just eight months before going home to be with the Lord, he said, and Brother Shakarian now just made a real statement just about what he thought about these days that we're living in. I truly believe with all my heart that we're living just at the closing of time, just in the evening shadows. The sun is far advanced, and when we see things taking place the way that they are today, why, it's hard telling what another generation would bring. A few days ago, just let me give you a little inside something. They made an analysis throughout Arizona, where I live, of all the schools. They gave the children unknowingly to them a mental test. And guess what? Including high schools and grammar schools, there was 80% of the children suffering with mental deficiency. 70% of them was television watchers. See, the evils has just slipped up on us, and you wonder why it comes. You can hear the voice of God screaming out against it, and yet we find ourselves webbed into it. And I think that was God putting that word in there. Because it's gone from television to the web. And he says, and the people are webbed into it. In other words, they are webbed into what is to bring them down, what is to make them immoral and everything else. Look, you don't find all that trash. You don't find tattoos and lizard people and people looking like animals and everything else among the Amish. They don't want nothing to do with the Gentile. Or with the English. Oh my. He just spoke prophetically, because he said that we are just webbed into it. And he said it's causing a breakdown of the mind, insanity. Now back then, by television, they were webbed into it. And today we have a worldwide web doing the same thing. Now think about this. Before the television, the advent of television and radio and those fourth dimensional things, we had books. And you know, there were some bad books. I remember back in the 60s and 70s that, you know, their high schools were banning certain books because of their immorality. But it wasn't, the people weren't exposed to it. They didn't just pass out the books to all the students. They had to go through a board of education. They said, no, you're not going to put this book in here. you're not going to do it. But now with the advent of television, it's in everybody's home. Notice, webbed into it, and today we have World Wide Web doing the same thing. Today they are WWW webbed into it, just as he predicted here. And you know, the people are actually addicted to the web, and everything that television had is on the web, and even more. And what kind of mental delusion is causing this generation? At least back in those days on television, you didn't have pornography and all that stuff. It's on the web today. I've talked to pastors, and they said the biggest trouble they have in their church is the women are hooked on pornography in their churches. And I praise the Lord. I haven't heard one instance of it among us here, and I'm thankful for that. But I've talked to brothers in Arizona, different churches, and they've told me the same thing. Well, if in his day he started seeing in seed form boys and girls who didn't even know what gender they were, what would he say about this generation who has 72 genders that they're choosing from? A gift from their government. Propaganda. I believe that all this gender stuff that the Obama administration pushed, the Clinton administration pushed, is to destroy the family. That's the one thing. If they can destroy the family, they can control the lives of the people. Even the head of the Johns Hopkins psychiatric unit said that transgenderism is a mental condition. I read this article about a year ago, but I'm going to read it again. From CNSnews.com, Dr. Paul R. McHugh, the former psychiatric in chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital and his current distinguished service professor of psychiatry, said that transgenderism is a mental disorder that merits treatment, that sex change is biologically impossible, and that people who promote sexual reassignment surgery are collaborating with and promoting a mental disorder. In another article, he likened it to bulimia. It's a mental disorder like bulimia. People think that they're fat when they're almost skin and bones. It's a mental disorder. They don't see the reality. They see some delusion in their mind. Dr. McHugh, the author of 6 books and at least 125 peer-reviewed medical articles, made his remarks in a recent commentary in the Wall Street Journal, where he explained that transgender surgery is not the solution for people who suffer a disorder of assumption. The notion that their maleness or femaleness is different from what nature assigned to them biologically. He also reported on a new study showing that the suicide rate among transgendered people who had reassignment surgery is 20 times higher than the suicide rate among non-transgender people. Dr. McHugh further noted studies from Vanderbilt University and London's Portman Clinic of children who had expressed transgender feelings but for whom over time 70-80% spontaneously lost those feelings, while the Obama administration, Hollywood, there's your TV, there's your web, and major media, such as Time Magazine, promote transgenderism as normal, said Dr. McHugh. These policymakers and the media are doing no favors either to the public or the transgendered by treating their confusion as a right in need of defending, rather as a mental disorder that deserves understanding, treatment, and prevention. This intensely felt sense of being transgendered constitutes a mental disorder in 2 respects. The first is that the idea of sex misalignment is simply mistaken. It does not correspond with physical reality. The second is that it can lead to grim psychological outcomes. Now, you watch these people who are webbed in, as Brother Branham put it, and they're walking around in a dual reality, walking like zombies down the street or in the mall, webbed into the web on their cell phones, and you see them even texting to their friends who are even in the same room. And I've seen people actually sitting at a table across from each other, texting each other, driving down the road while their eyes are glued to the web on their phones. Now, Brother Bram said in his sermon, God's Only Provided Place of Worship, he said, look at this teenage insane. Why, we had, and I told you the other day, they was taking an analysis there in the schools in Arizona where I live, and 80% of the children in school is mentally retarded. What will their children be? We can't have another generation. We're at the end. Jesus said these things would come. Look at all the television and things getting these fictitious things in order. And it'll come a time, I predict, that people will be completely, totally insane. The world over will be. The Bible speaks of such hideous sights as they show in movies today of some prehistoric creature's age that lived in the earth for so many thousands and millions of years, hatched and come forth to some. That's just a minor thing to what's going to happen. When hell is opened up and the devil comes out with all of his mysterious things of women or locusts with hair like women and teeth like lions, why, the world would be completely, totally insane. And it's not just about 1 degree from it now. Notice Brother Branham says, when hell is opened and the devil comes out with all of his mysterious things, why, the world will be completely, totally insane. And there are a lot of people that believe CERN will open the transdimensional portal that will open the gates to hell before the end comes. I don't know. I have no idea. But I do know a prophet said it, hell will be opened up. So what has caused all this insanity? Hybrid faith, hybrid religion. Man eating from the tree of knowledge that Eve ate from, bringing death and destruction into the world. That is what has caused all this transgenderism and sodomism condition. It's been a hybrid faith from a hybrid gospel. From a sermon, it wasn't so from the beginning, Brother Branham said, then people today are as past. They hybrid the church to organizations and to creeds and to mix up people's minds. And then they say, where is God? Where is the God of the Old Testament? Where is the Lord Jesus that promised these things? Now notice they mix up the people's minds. Their minds are placed into a blender of hybrid theology, as Brother Ram calls it in Greater Than Solomon Is Here. Hybrid theology, which takes God's word and mixes it with man's ideas and produces confusion in the minds of people and ultimately death. Now in his sermon Leadership, Brother Branham warns us against the mental confusion leading to a total and complete insanity because of the hybrid faith, which has produced nothing but confusion and destruction. And notice his words, O God, let me go, Lord. Don't leave me behind, Jesus. Let me go with you, Father. I don't want to stay here on this earth to watch these tribulations come on. I don't want to stay here in this insanity. I don't want to stand here when hideous sights, people losing their minds. We look at men trying to act like beasts. You look at this picture of this man with a split tongue. It's not enough that they, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they poke a nail through their tongue. Now they're splitting their tongue. They're dyeing their skin, looking like lizards or snakes or whatever. This woman, she looks like some type of a snake. The guy up there, he even got his hair up in a thing like a chameleon or something. We'll show you the woman picture up here. She got fangs, had her teeth made into fangs like a lion. The people are losing their minds. Listen, how many, do we have anybody around my, yeah, we do. Steve, you remember growing up, did you ever see anything like this? I never did. Patty? Not even in the hills of Kentucky. No, you didn't see this kind of stuff. You didn't see it in downtown Cincinnati. You didn't see it in, I didn't even see it in Minneapolis. And Brother Ram in 1953 called it a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. The people losing their minds, we look at men trying to act like beasts, like the man down in Florida that was caught eating another man, cannibals, and looking like beasts. You look at any of these pictures here. And listen, this is just four out of, you go to Google Images and type in men beast or women looking like serpents or whatever, lizards or whatever, you're going to find page after page. I mean, it's just going to scroll. It's just hundreds of women trying to look like animals. Like animals. With the paints on their face. Knowing that these things are predicted to happen. That's the thing, Will. They'll go insane. Till locusts will rise up with hair like women to haunt the women and teeth like lions. And things that you've said, the mental condition of the people will be completely gone. It will be completely gone. It's gone today. O great leader of eternal life, we accept your promise tonight, Father. I plead for this people. I plead for every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that Christ, the Son of God, will come into the hearts of every one of us, Lord, and mold us and make us into new creations in Christ Jesus. Grant it, Lord God. We love you and want our dispositions, our change to come into us, that we can be your children, feel your spirit moving in our hearts, Lord, tendering us and bringing us to a realization of this insane age that we're living in. I think we're there. How many of you have your heart more tender now than it was years ago? How many of you are brought to the realization of the insane age that we're living in? I think all of us are. We see it. God, help our children. When we see young women caught up in the web of the devil, young men, perverted minds, children, dope addicts, cigarette smoking, drinking, immoral, Satan's Eden. God had taken you 6,000 years, according to the Bible, to bring in Eden. And you put your son and his wife in there, his bride, to rule over it. And Satan come around and perverted it. He's got 6,000 years, and he's built his own intellectual Eden through science and education and so-called intelligence, and he's built it into a mess of death. Oh, God, take us back to Eden again, Lord, where there's no death, where there's no sorrow. Grant it, Lord. We stand humbly waiting for the second coming, second Adam to come for his bride. Make us part of him, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I used to think, the very first times I heard Brother Branham call the world cannon fodder, I used to think, that's pretty strong words. I don't think that anymore. When I look at pictures like that, that's cannon fodder. They will not be in the millennium. They will not be in the New Jerusalem. They will not be in the New Earth. They will be ash. They will be ash. Now, from his sermon calling Jesus on the scene, Brother Branham said, and now high breeding got it into the church too. Instead of having a real rugged bunch of Bible believers, they've hybrided by denomination. And they have to. I got this and I got that and I belong to this and I belong to that. It's hybrid. And the thing can't produce itself again. We need a book of Acts again, but the only way that you'll do it is to get back to the Bible and away from some of this hybrid religion. Hybriding has to be babied. There's no faith. Just a bunch of powder puffs, just sissified, babied into it. I say, are you a Christian? I'm a Methodist. Are you a Christian? Well, I'm a Presbyterian. I'm Pentecostal. That don't mean that to God. You're a Christian because you're born in the Spirit of Christ and the Word of God lives in you. And from perseverance, Brother Branham said, now Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him, and all the Father has given to me will come. You don't have to baby and pet them and promise them that they're going to have a fleet of Cadillacs if they'll receive the Holy Ghost. And their business is going to prosper, and they're going to have a bigger churches and higher steeples and better educated preachers and old nonsense. Get away from it. Faith that holds the Word of God yields the power of God. Faith that holds the Word of God yields the power of God. Right. Then you're persistent. Why, I ain't got no fleet of Cadillacs yet, and I'm over here with you all these years? All I got's a lot of persecution. Oh, you hybrid donkey. Don't even know what mama and papa is? That's the way it is, though. My, yeah. What if I were to say that? Oh, you hybrid donkeys. That's from a vindicated prophet of God speaking in the name of the Lord. Hybrid donkeys. Don't know their mommy, don't know their poppy. Hybrid. And what does hybrid do? It brings death. From a sermon, it wasn't so from the beginning. He said, the revival that come forth in the days of Luther, it cannot reproduce itself because they hybrid it. The days of Wesley, they cannot reproduce it. Tell me, one of them that ever raised when they fell, when they hybrid the church, it goes right back again. It's done. It can't reproduce itself. It can bring members in and make an organization, but it can't reproduce itself again. What we want is something to reproduce to bring sons and daughters to God. You can't do it from a seminary. It's got to come from the Holy Ghost above like a mighty rushing wind, like it did at the beginning. Hybrid religion, perverting things, changing things, men perverting. And when Jesus came in his days, he said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." What have they did? They've taken the commandments of God and hybrid it with their own ideas and have brought it back and it said, "Thou shalt not," and "Thou shalt this," and "Thou shalt so forth." But they, with their traditions, they make the commandments of God of none effect because they had hybrid it. Now, in the sermon harvest time, Brother Branham points out that when you hybridize anything, you take the life out of it. That's point number two. Now, this grain, he says, must be a good grain. It must be free from faults and failure and so forth in it. It must be a thoroughbred grain. It can't be a hybrid grain because when it comes up, you plant it again and your wheat is done because a hybrid grain won't grow again. It can't grow again. You make the life out of it when you hybrid it. Or you take the life out of it when you hybrid it. And that's what's happened to the churches. They've been hybrid to the world. And that's the reason that each revival coming on, and you can't have another revival behind it, every organization that ever organized it dies on the spot and never rises again. Because it organized the world into its systems. Therefore, it never did. There is no history ever that shows any church that ever organized, ever raised up again, she died right there. Why? Because you hybrided. Again, in a sermon, Abraham's Covenant Confirmed, Brother Brown points out that anything that is hybrid is polluted and dead because it cannot produce life. Anything that's hybrid is polluted. And religion that's hybrid from this Bible into organization or denomination or creed, church creeds, is hybrid. Now look, a hybrid produces a more beautiful art, more beautiful product. You take wheat, you get corn, hybrid corn, and some of the best corn we ever had, but it's no good. You take that hybrid corn and plant it back, it can't reproduce itself again. The best worker they got is a mule. His mother was a mare horse, and his father was a little Jenny or a little Jack. And that mule cannot raise another mule. It cannot breed itself back again. And what we got today is a bunch of mule hybrid religion. Just exactly. Bred from Methodist to Baptist and from Pentecostal to Presbyterian creeds and denominations until we got nothing. From the Laodicean Church Age, he said, and as soon as the church goes into denomination, it's dead. It'll never rise again. And what is it? It's hybrid. And remember, Brother Branham said, it only takes two people to form a denomination. Now, you got a lot of denominations in this message. But the message itself will never denominate. Do you understand what I'm saying? The message is the faith of the original fathers. That won't denominate. But you'll get people come up with this doctrine or this doctrine or this doctrine, and they form around it, they denominate around it, and it forms a hybrid religion. Martin Luther was all right, but when he organized, what did he do? Methodist was all right, but when he organized, what did he do? Pentecost was all right, but when you organized it, what did you do? You hybrid it and bred it into the Nicolaitan Catholic Church. Exactly what you've done. Took up her form of baptism, took up her ways and actions, and the Bible said, you are a daughter to a whore, a harlot, a daughter of harlot. Exactly right. You cannot turn on the radio today and find one truly Christian radio station. They're all hybrid back with the Catholic Church. Listening to a True News the other night. The guy was on there talking about how we've got to get people baptized in the name of the Father. He said, we've got to dunk them three times. Once for the Father, once for the Son, and once for the Holy Ghost. Where'd you get that from? There's no such scripture for that. It's hybrid religion. Total hybrid. Now back to Brother Ram's sermon, Condemnation by Representation, paragraph 33, he said, you can't cross itself back. When the grain was first planted, the second place, they come in, then they hybrid it, and the first thing you know, it can't never come back. I ask any scholar to go with me through history, any church that ever left its original foundation has never been able to come up again. When God sent Luther, he had a revival. He swept the world, but he organized it and he hybrid it with the world, like the Catholic Church. And when he did, what did he do? He produced a bunch of renegades and hybrid. And he never has rose and never will. Along comes John Wesley, and done the same thing with the revival. As soon as him and Ashbury and the old founders did, the old founders died, and they organized it and made the Wesleyan Methodist Church, and they never raised, and they never will raise no more. From Christ is the mystery, Brother Branham said. Get that revelation, brother. This generation is spurning God's revelation. See, false prophets are doing that. By their fruits you shall know them. They're hybrid. They're bred into an organization instead of the Word. The Word of God. The revelation of God revealing himself through Christ, who is the Word. And from Perseverance, he said she wasn't a hotbed plant. He's talking about this woman here. She wasn't a hotbed plant to have to be babied. No, sir. She wasn't a hotbed plant, had to be babied. She wasn't a modern hybrid, so-called believer, of the crop today. She had a hold on something. Not, well, I'm a Methodist and I don't have to take that. See, Jesus said to this woman, he said, It's not meat to give the children's bread to dogs. What if Jesus were standing here today and said, it's not meat to give God's word to a bunch of you dogs, to a bunch of you Pentecostal mutts, to a bunch of you Baptist mutts, to a bunch of you message mutts? You'd be offended. You say, I don't have to listen to that. I'll go someplace else where they don't talk that way. That was Jesus. Jesus said that to the woman. It's not meat to give the children. It's not right to give the children's meat to dogs. She said, but I'm not asking for the whole thing. I'm just asking for a slice. I'm asking for crumbs. She didn't say, I'm offended. She said, I realize that's the truth. But I just want crumbs. Could you do the same? Come on. Ricky, people get offended. Oh, the pastor, he preaches too hard. He just rips people up in this. Are we hotbed plants? If I'm sitting in a church and Brother Vail's eyes look straight at me, or if I was sitting in Brother Bram's service, his eyes looked at me and he said something very hard, I'd say, God, forgive me. What does he see in my life that I don't see myself? Open my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart and cleanse me. She wasn't a modern hybrid, so-called believer of the crop today. She had a hold of something. Not, well, I'm a Methodist and I don't have to take that. Bless God, I belong to the assembly. I belong to the Church of God. I don't have to take that. No, that's a hybrid type. You're bred into some organization, but a real, true, thoroughbred Christian is born of the Word of God and holds on no matter what takes place. Now, the law of life in Genesis 1:11 tells us that every seed must bring forth after its kind. But if you mix it, if you hybrid it with another seed with a different nature, then it won't bring forth again of the original nature. It can't. It's been hybridized. It can't bring forth after its kind, because it's a seed of a mixed life and it's death. And I don't think men will have, not men, men, I don't think men will not have to answer for hybridizing the Word of God. In other words, men will have to answer. From Spoken Word's original seed, Brother Brown said, to mix it brings forth a hybrid crop. A hybrid crop is a dead crop. As far as breeding, it won't rebreed itself. It can't, because God said so. It has to bring forth of its kind, and you've mixed it. And now you can see the church right there, where we're going to wind up. It dies there, and it cannot bring forth of its kind. Why? It's mixed. You can't do nothing with it. It's dead. It's finished. All right. That's why each generation has its own revival, a chance at the Word. Oh, the sovereign God at the judgment. John Wesley group will raise up, and these starched, washed Methodists of today will answer for it. Luther will raise up, the Catholics will raise up, and back behind Irenaeus and Martin, Polycarp, and those, and will have to stand the judgment for hybriding the Word of God to dogmas. This group of Lutherans that followed Luther's revival will answer the same thing. The group of Baptists that followed John Smith's revival will do the same thing. Alexander Campbell's will do the same thing. And the Pentecostals will do the same thing. That original revival, when the Holy Ghost fell, called out the people, and God trying to get his people get his word to it, and they organize it, and sit over here and denominate, and died right there, they're all going to have to answer to it. And so will the messengers, the ministers in this message that have hybrid this message back to whatever creed they came out of. Trying to take it back to Pentecost, trying to take it into their Baptist with theology and everything else. They're going to answer for hybriding this message, which is God's message, the same thing Paul taught. In a sermon masterpiece, Brother Brown said, but what denominates it dies. Now notice that as soon as it begins to denominate right there, it dies. And so we see that a denomination which is hybridizing the Word of God with man's ideas of that word, that shows that the life has gone out. Because to denominate means to set a specific value on the thing. When you talk in terms of currency, we say, what denominational bill do you have? The word denomination, according to our dictionary, has several meanings, and they all speak of one central theme. Now, while I read the definition, I want you to think in terms of what theme carries through these definitions. One, a large group of religious congregations united under a common faith and name and organized under a single administrative and legal hierarchy. Two, one of a series of kinds, values, or sizes, as in a system of currency or weights. So when you say you got to listen to this preacher, this guy has the goods, you got to listen to this preacher, right there you've denominated. Notice that each example of denomination speaks of an assessed value, a size, or a kind. You've got to be like us or you're not going to be in it. That's denomination. So you see, when we think in terms of denomination, and listen, it's not the fault of the person they're pointing to. That person came on, God anointed them for a specific purpose, and he took them off the scene. But those that come behind and they say, okay, now this, you got to listen to this guy, or you're not going to make it. That's denomination. So you see, when we think in terms of denomination, we must think in terms of what value or assessment is associated with the denomination we speak of. And it does not matter what they hold to, for a vindicated prophet told us, when they denominate, they die right there. So you see, that to denominate means certain death to the church. And what does it mean? It means that the life has left it, and they are now holding to a value that they have assigned. In other words, if the word they preached and emphasized was a certain thing, then if God brings further light upon that certain thing, or even upon another thing, and the people see that other thing doesn't hold the same value to them as the thing that they already had, then they turn it aside, and right there they have denominated. And right there God can no longer help them because they have turned down further light from his word. Now, I'm not talking about if some guy comes along and calls himself a Jewish prophet, or some guy comes along and he's a Trinitarian. I'm not talking about those people, because Brother Brown said if you've got a Trinitarian in your pulpit, you got a false prophet in your pulpit. I have nothing to gain from someone who's a Trinitarian. I mean, I might hear what they have to say, and if it lines up with the word, all right. But I don't waste my time. I don't waste my time. We should spend more time in this than anything else. Honestly. Even listening to tape, you should spend more time in this. Now, from a sermon called Seed, Not Ever the Shuck, Brother Brand was talking about how that Sarah tried to make the promise happen by giving her concubine to Abraham, thinking that would fulfill the promise that God had made to Abraham. And that is how carnal believers always think, that they do not trust for God to work out his promises, because they really do not trust his word. So they try to work them out for themselves, and in doing so, they always miss the promise. In other words, man tries to figure out what God's up to, and then they try to do it his way. But there's a way which seems right to man, and the way thereof is the way of death. That's what Brother Brown was saying in a sermon, "Seed Is Not Ever the Shuck." He said, how true it is. Sarah trying to get the promise all fulfilled, you see, in a great, like the church today, a great revival in our time by what? By a perverted promise. How are you going to do it when God never did bless organizations? He never did use an organization. When a message went forth and they organized, it died right there. I challenge any historian to show me where it ever raised again. It died right there and stayed right there. God just moved right out of that carrier into another one. right out of the Lutheran into Methodist, right out of Methodist into Pentecostal, and now he's moved right out of Pentecostal into the sea, because it has to be sea. You can't beat nature. There's no nothing else there for it to happen but seed. So the seed will produce itself. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same pillar of fire, showing the same signs, same power, the same God, the same miracles, the same thing. Vindicated the word and the Bible just exactly. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's leading tonight. God help us to see it and believe it. Again, from his message, Jehovah Jireh, he said, what happened to Luther as soon as Luther saw the pillar of fire? He followed it. But what did he do after Luther's day? They organized a church called Lutheran. Then it died right there on the organization. Because it's just like the Catholic Church. Then the first thing you know, along come Wesley. The pillar of fire moved right out of the organization and went on. Wesley saw it, and away he went after it. And as soon as the first round died out, they organized it. Called it the Wesleyan Methodist, or the Methodist Church. When they organized it, it died right there. When the Pentecostals come out, seen it, going out, not from justification under Luther and sanctification under Wesley, but they saw the baptism of the Holy Ghost back to the original blessing, and here they went after it. Oh my, went out and began to speak with tongues and the power of God working through them. But what did they do? They organized it. It died right there. But now the pillar of fire is moving out. He's moving again, and it'll never one time did an organization ever rise up that didn't die and never come back again. I challenge any historian. Well, you say, what about today? I'm going to tell you something. When Brother Branham was living, he said, my headquarters is Jeffersonville. But Brother Branham is gone. Jeffersonville is not the headquarters of God. It might be of the Branhamites, but it's not of God. Brother Branham is gone. There is no headquarters for William Branham. Unless you're an organization, williambranham.org. I'm not condemning what they're doing. I'm just saying that don't you get this idea that there's a headquarters for this message, because once you do, you've got a denomination. Amen. Our headquarters is the Holy Ghost. It's God himself. And so you see, the minute men begin to talk or organizing the message or even the doctrine of Christ, and I've seen them do that over in Congo, the brother got to the place where they were trying to control everything, and they even tried to control me, and then when I came, they boycotted my ministry, and they claimed to be following me and Brother Vail. And I saw them trying to organize, and I started pulling back from those brothers, because they're trying to organize the doctrine of Christ. You can't organize being a son or daughter of God. You can't place people in or out and say, you're a son, you're not a son. That's up to God. And God will prove who's son through John 14:12. You see the Holy Spirit working in their life. That's right. And if it's not happening in your life, I'd be on my knees before God. And I'd say, Lord, I want the same thing in my life. I want a double portion of what William Branham had. Is that okay to say? Did not Elisha say, I want a double portion of what Elijah had? I want a double portion of what William Branham had. Now I realize that sign of Messiah, that's something different. That was specific for his ministry. That's fine. I don't need that. I don't even want to know what people thought. It's hard enough to read their body language. Much less their thoughts. But I would like to see a double portion in this church, in each and every one of you. I love to see things happen, and I don't ask for people to die so that we can raise them again. But I love to see the opportunity for you people to have the power of God working through you. And that your faith isn't bogged down by some hybrid, well, what are the brothers and sisters going to think if I lay my hands on this person, because this person's dead? No. In times like that, you don't care what anybody thinks. Father, what will you think if I don't? If you're telling me to do it, I'm going to do it. Can you imagine what went through St. Patrick's mind, St. Martin's mind, Columba's mind? All of them came upon funeral processions. People were on their way to be put under the ground. In St. Patrick's case, there had been people who had already been put under the ground. And he said, dig them up. Dig them up. Dig them up. In Martin's case, he put everybody out of the room, and I can understand why. And he went in there, he put his mouth in the man's mouth, his hands in the man's hands, and he breathed into him, and the Holy Ghost that was in him came into that man. And that man was raised up. Can you imagine what people would have said if they had been in the room when Brother Branham put his mouth in the man's mouth? He said, I had to push his entrails back in because the man died of tuberculosis. And I had to push the man's entrails back into his mouth, and then I put my mouth in his mouth and my hands on his hands. I see the faces. Could you do that? Or maybe if that was your grandchild, you could do that. And you would do that. But what if it's another believer? Could you? You know, sometimes we look at things and we say, well, give the person mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That's what we think of. Where do they get that idea from? From the Bible. In 1982, before we moved into our house over in Hamilton, we're in a rental up in Centerville, and Levon's parents had come down, and they're sitting at the table, and all of a sudden, Levon's mother, all her breath just went, and she fell over, face on her plate. I checked, there was no pulse. I sat her back up, put my mouth on my mother-in-law's mouth, and breathed in. And God restored her life. Now, was that mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? Call it that if you're scientific. Was that God raising a dead person? I believe that's what it was. And she lived another 30 years. 2012. God is the same. He doesn't want people who are so afraid. What's my wife going to think? Putting my mouth in her mouth. What's her husband going to think? You just do it. And God honors it. It's time, everybody, that you get your eyes off your wife, wife off your husband, off your children, children off your parents, and get your eyes on Jesus. Because sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. They're led by the Spirit of God. Like I told you, the things that happened overseas, the Lord told me to go and stop that storm. The devil said, if you do, you're going to make a fool out of yourself. Are you willing to make a fool out of yourself, Brother John, in front of your family? Are you willing to go in there? Lay your hands upon your mother's hands and breathe into her mouth the breath of life. Make sure that that's the Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Ghost tells you to do that, John, don't buck it. If she dies and you're there and you know God's put it on your heart to do it, and watch God raise her up. You see, we're looking for medicine to cure us of our ills. We got to step out in faith. I've told the Lord, you know, I've suffered my whole life with bronchial condition. My first 8 days in life, I was in an incubator, an oxygen tent in the hospital because my lungs were too small. And I had to stay in the hospital until they had grown out, and through oxygen and that, it helped. I think the devil knew that I was called to the ministry. He did everything he could to stop me. And I've suffered, every 4 years I've suffered with terrible bronchitis. And the last few years it's been every year. And the devil has put it on me. Oh, I've got penicillin, all that does is mess up your colon. I've tried the doctor's ways. But the other night I said, Father, I don't want medical way. I don't want medicine. I want new bronchitis. I want a new creation.
in me. I want to be able to breathe and not fight all of this. And so, Lord, I'm not going to go that route. I'm going to go your route. Brother Bram had a mess up stomach. And he said, when he realized that that would work for him, he said, I'm believing for my healing. He said, what's for supper, Mom? She said, well, we got beans, but you can't eat them. It'll destroy you. He said, I shoved them down. He said, I began to throw it up. I caught the throw up and swallowed it back down. God instantly healed me then. Like when I broke my back, when I was coaching hockey back in when I was in college, I was doing my student teaching. I think I've told many of you that. Many maybe haven't heard this because I haven't spoken it in years. But I'd broken my back I was up by myself on a Saturday, and I was cutting across the ice, and I was going to do this thing where you pull the puck behind you like this, and then you put it in this way. And I was skating hard, coming up fast on the goal. The goal was frozen in because the outdoor rinks were all they just put the goal out there and they just kept adding water. And so it had probably that much. And so I hit a twig. I was in the air. I was heading right for the goalpost with my head. I turned my body so it wouldn't hit my head. And I hit my back and I broke two transverse processes. Those are the things that come off of your discs. I broke one here and one above it. I had to crawl to the car to get into the car. I had to crawl with just my arms. I couldn't use my legs. I worked my way up into the car, got into the car, sat down, and then, you know, I have stick shifts, so everything went fine that way, but got down to the university. I went in, and now because I was still on the football team under scholarship, I had the doctors were the team physicians. They came. They ran me through tests and x-rays, and they said, you've got two transverse processes broken. They said, we're going to put you on heavy, pain relief. And it said, it's going to take 6 months for those transverse processes. The first 6 weeks, he said, your body is still in shock. And then it'll take about 6 months for the body to relax enough so that those broken off pieces will work their way back and they will attach themselves. That's God's miracle in our body. But it's going to take 6 months for this to heal. That was Saturday. Sunday, I read my Bible. I'd left the Catholic Church by that time. I read my Bible and I read with Brother Branham in his life story, where he talked about how he was healed. I didn't know Brother Branham was a prophet. I just knew this man could talk to God and God would talk back to him. That's all I knew at that time. And I said, Lord, if you can heal that man, you can heal me, because you're not a respecter of persons. So that night I tried to sleep. I couldn't sleep hardly. You know, I had to actually sit. I couldn't lay down. I had to sit. So I sat. Next day I went to school, taught my classes. If I got tired, I just kind of leaned back against the chair like this with my hand and just kind of relaxed myself a little bit. Went that night, brought my skates to the indoor rink. I was coaching a high school hockey team, and I was doing my student coaching. I went in, I put my skates on. I could barely bend over to even put them on. And to pull them tight, it put so much strain across my back. It was very, very painful. I just could hardly do it. So my skates were loose, and anybody that's played hockey, you know that you don't want to go out and skate on loose skates because, there's a lot of stress. Well, I put them on, and I said, Lord, I'm healed. And I stepped out on the ice with my hands. I jumped out on the ice, and the first glide across the ice, the first maybe 3, 4, 5 feet, it was like a thunderbolt of lightning going through my back. It hurt so bad. And after that, nothing. And I skated. And I went back in, had x-rays. It had gone. Everything joined back together. If you take God at His word, He will do the impossible. For all things are possible to them that believe. Now, if I had hybrid faith, I would say, well, the doctor said 6 months, so it's going to take 6 months. I'll bear with it. But I went to the great physician. And I'm going to the great physician for my lungs. He is more than capable of giving me a new set or a new bronchi system. And I'm claiming it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, Brother Brown said in Jehovah Jireh, I'm looking in the face there of one of the best there is in the nation. That's right, a historian of the historians is sitting right with us. And I'll ask that man or any other man to ever show me one time that a church ever organized and it didn't die and stay dead. It never did rise again in the history of the church or the world. Never did. God don't want that. God wants us to be free in Him. He wants us to a place where we can all accept all of God. Not stay in this mountain, move out. Abraham seed. God told Abraham to move. He said, okay, I'm moving. Where to, Lord? He said, just follow me. Just follow me. And the journey that Abraham took outlined Israel as we know it today. Hallelujah. Now, in the sermon masterpiece, Brother Brown said that living they produced in their early revival a holder of a certain portion of the seed life, but when they organized, the life moved out of it. That's proved by all of history. Never an organization ever done a thing after it organized. It was dead. That's right. Now watch. The life's traveling on now. It's moving on. Notice what they have done. All these have done is proved by history just exactly the way the church has come, never to be useful to Him again. Organization is laid on the shelf. There never has been in all the history of the church after it's organized but what it died. How do they do it? They put a creed in and they inject it with creeds. But whosoever shall add one word or take one word, see, he's blocked off from it. So to organize is death. To organize then is no different than to denominate. To do so is to die spiritually. Why? Because it is a hybrid. It's hybridization of the word with the ideas of man. In paragraph 118 of Lean Not to Your Own Understanding, Brother Brown said, you know the Bible said you can believe a lie and be damned by it. See, that's exactly the truth. They form, no matter what the Word of God says, they lean to their own understanding. They lean on it. They believe it. They think it's the truth. You can believe. You can keep believing a lie over and over and over till it's the truth to you. That's right. But how do we know whether it's truth or not? God proved it's truth. Because it's in His Word and He vindicates it. He does His own interpretation of it. And how do they get this? They do it by their culture, by their education, of their own understanding, of their degrees, of doctor's degrees and so forth, that they have come from some certain seminary and they learn by those things. Well, God's only provided a place of worship. Now, if you get everything running just right, it's going to run. Everything's set in order. If there's a short in that wire, that light won't come on because it's been grounded. And when you take God, when you take one of God's words or one of the places and in your own heart have selfish motives, it'll ground the power of God right there. If you do it because you want to be smart, you want to be different from somebody else or something, right there is grounded till it blows the fuse. You're wrong. You've got to come with sincerity, with all of your heart. Your motives and your objectives are placed right on God. Then search for His place, find where He set it, and bring it there. And again, from God's only provided place, He said, how can you teach the great things when you won't do the simple, common things? Because you see, your motive and your objective is wrong. That's why I went about a year before Brother Vail died, and I said, Brother Vail, I said, I know people are talking about me, about John 14:12. But Brother Vail, this is what I think, this is my definition in my heart of John 14:12. It's not that I'm looking for great miracles, it's not that my motive, he said, my motive is this. I want my motive and my objective to be so obedient to the Father that no matter what the Father tells me, I'm willing to do it. And he said, that's right. That's right. You see, John 14:12 isn't based, it's based on one thing, your motive. Did he say it or did he not say it? And is he telling me now to do something or is he not telling me? Remember, the bride will have thus saith the Lord, or she will keep still. In closing, from God's only provided place of worship, he said, it's your love to God. Lord, I don't care what you want me to do. I'm willing to do it. That's exactly what I told Brother Vail. Then you're getting somewhere. But if you don't do it that way, the way that he said do it, it's his choosing. the place that I have chosen, that's where you worship your sacrifice. See, Cain brought his sacrifice, Abel brought his. It depends on what place you take it into. If you take it into the place where he's chosen, it'll be all right. He'll accept it. If it's not, he won't accept it. Don't care if it's the same sacrifice, whatever it is, it's still rejected unless it's brought to that one certain place. Now, we want to find out where we want to bring the sacrifice. We can find out. We all want to go to heaven, don't we? And we all know that we've done wrong. We all believe that Jesus is a sacrifice. And now we want to know where to take him. It'll be accepted. See, that's right. The Bible tells us where to take him at, and then it'll be accepted. Outside of there, it won't be accepted. We preached on that Wednesday night. You can go into fundamentalism, or you can have revelation. It's about his prayer. Gracious Father, we don't want hybrid religion. We don't want hybrid faith. We want the same faith that Paul had. The same faith, Father, that Peter, James, and John had. The same faith Irenaeus. The same faith that Martin and Columba. The same faith that Martin Luther to take a stand against that all-powerful Catholic Church who ruled the nations. And he defied them. We want the same faith that William Branham stood against the religious world and all the religious clergy of his day. We want your faith, the faith of the Son of God. Help us, Father, to be so sincere and so honest in our heart and always checking our motive and our objective to know that we want to be only led by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Will the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you.